We get five really rich characters in today's gospel reading. Mary and Joseph, Jesus, Simeon, and this prophetess, Anna. Think about Mary and Joseph. This baby is now 40 days old, and they're learning a lot about him. There's a trust, hopefully, that he is the one that they've heard about, that the angel Gabriel said was going to be the Son of God. But Jesus is human, too, so they have to learn what his cries mean. This is a I need food cry. This is I'm just looking for attention cry. This is a I'm going to poop cry, you know? And Jesus, at that time, they didn't really have Huggies. So Mary and Joseph are learning what it looks like to be parents and change diapers, loincloths, whatever it was. And here they are holding this precious child, this gift that they've received in their lives. And you parents know how scary that is. It's like a doctor hands you a baby, tells you it's yours, and then they basically say, don't kill this child. Keep it alive. And how scary that is, really. And so Mary and Joseph, as best they can, are really trying to keep the child Jesus alive so that he can be fed, so that he can flourish. And yet, the law of the Lord is still in effect. 8 days after he was born, he was brought to the synagogue to be circumcised. And 40 days after that, he's brought to the temple for his presentation to the Lord. The prophecy that we hear about, the law that every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord. And we learn something about Mary and Joseph here. The typical offering would have been a lamb or a sheep. But if you were too poor and couldn't afford that, you were to offer a turtle dove or two young pigeons. So we learn that Mary and Joseph, they're not materially wealthy. In some ways, they're just scraping by. And yet, in the midst of them raising this child, they are fulfilling the law of the Lord, the normal duties of regular existence with the Lord. And that's just so important for us. What does the church ask of me? How am I called to respond to the Lord? And they bring their son, Jesus, into the temple. The temple was, it was decorated beautifully. It was like Eden. It was paradise in building. It had all these depictions of what the garden was supposed to look like. There was trees in abundance. There was ornamentation to make it look like a garden. This is what restored humanity is supposed to be like. In the garden, man was meant to live with God. And then this division happens. And it's in the temple that the people of Israel would hope this reconciliation is supposed to happen. God's dwelling place on earth is in the temple, that God and humanity are brought back together. The prophet Ezekiel had said because of the unfaithfulness of the Lord that the glory of God had actually left the temple some 607 years before the coming of Jesus, that God's presence actually left the temple. And so when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple, the glory of God is renewed. God begins to sit on his throne. This is now the reconciliation between God and man, that God has sprung into our midst once again. But before they can even get to the priest for this presentation, this person, Simeon, random character, sort of cuts them off. We hear about Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was righteous, he was devout. He was a man who would pray in the temple every day, and he was awaiting the consolation of Israel. And what's their consolation? That God would return to the midst of his people. That God would be so close that all the people would know it, would feel it, would be able to see it, touch it, feel it. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, giving him these promptings, these inspirations along the way, so that when the child Jesus enters the temple, there's this spiritual alertness, this spiritual sensitivity that Simeon has and says, that's the one. That's the one we've been waiting for. And it sort of mystifies, stupefies Mary and Joseph. They're kind of caught off guard Because Simeon is that creeper guy who says, let me hold your baby, you know? And he comes and he takes their child. Mary and Joseph place him, Jesus, in his arms. And he makes this great prayer. The prayer is the Nunc Dimittis in Latin. Priests are to pray it. Priests and religious have to pray this every night before I go to bed. Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace. Only now that I've seen the working of the Lord, will you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. This is why on this feast day of all days, we make you walk in with lighted candles. This is called the presentation of the Lord. It's also called Candlemas. You all know what Christmas is, but this is Candlemas in the tradition of the church, that we give thanks to God because he is the light for revelation to the Gentiles, that God's interaction with humanity wasn't just meant for the people of Israel, for the Jews, but that Jesus came into the world so that the light of the gospel would shine on all peoples. And as you and I shared the light between each other, this is what the apostles were called to do, to share the light of Christ with each other. And you've seen how it spreads. It takes forever at the beginning to get like a few candles lit, but very quickly it spreads. You bring many people together to be able to share the gospel. There's strength in numbers, and it spreads quickly, not for what we can do, but because of the work of Jesus, that he comes as a light of revelation to the Gentiles, that all people would know the good news of the Lord. Simeon, at this point, can go in peace, and he does. And then we meet this prophetess, Anna, a woman advanced in years. She lived 7 years with her husband after marriage, and she was widowed. And she lived as a widow until she was 84. And so you see these two sets of characters, Mary and Joseph, young, youthful, hopeful, and then these older characters who are experienced and wise and led by the Holy Spirit, and not bitter or resentful, but they're still living in expectant hope of the things that God can do. When Jesus invites us to be childlike, I often think of Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna, whose lives were animated by the Holy Spirit, that keeps them young, that keeps them spiritually sensitive, so that when Anna meets this child, Jesus, she too is able to recognize him. And what it says that she does, and coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. She gave thanks to God. Every time we come to Mass, we celebrate the sacrament of the Eucharist. And the word Eucharist means thanksgiving. That every time we have an encounter with the living God, it's an encounter that has to spring into thanksgiving. And Anna is a great example of this. That she had been waiting in the temple for so many decades of years, waiting for the redemption, the consolation of Jerusalem, the consolation of her own heart. And as soon as she encounters the Christ child, she returns thanksgiving to God. You and I ascend when we come to Mass. We ascend the mountain of the Lord into his holy temple so that we too can encounter the Christ, the one who brings light to our lives, and that we can offer thanksgiving back to him. We look at these characters, Mary and Joseph, faithfully being present to the Lord, giving him whatever it is he needs through the day. Simeon and Anna, who expectantly wait and hope for Jesus' coming, all turning in thanksgiving to the Christ child present in their midst. And we do the same when we come here at Mass to worship him in his body and his blood. The Eucharist means that we give thanks, and that's what we do here today.